Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimmox, your host and Director of External Affairs for NCAJ. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our Circle of Leadership Gemstone level members for supporting NCAJ's mission and this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see a list of Circle of Leadership firms at the end of the podcast. To find out how your firm can join the circle, go to ncaj.com/circle. My guests today are Audrey and Gabe Snyder. In January, the Snyders bought Ward Black Law in the wake of the passing of the firm's founder, Janet Ward Black, in November. The Snyders have both been actively involved for NCAJ in years, as was Janet Ward. Audrey has served as chair of NCAJ's Women's Caucus and the Products Liability Class Actions and Mass Tort Section, and she has served as president of the North Carolina Association for Women Attorneys. Gabe is a graduate of NCAJ's Next Leadership Program and has served as chair of the Auto Torts and Premises Liability Section. Audrey, Gabe, welcome to the program and congratulations on being the new owners of Ward Black Law.
Thank you.
So you announced the purchase of the firm in early January, and that followed very shortly after Janet Ward's passing. So this must have been, I'm only guessing, a whirlwind few months for you guys. You squeezed Christmas in there in between somewhere, right?
Yeah.
With your two small children. How are you both feeling?
Well, now that you asked, I've taken a moment to pause and maybe reflect on that. It has been a whirlwind, as you said. And to be honest, I feel like we have not really stopped to even recognize or appreciate all that's happened. So, you know, between losing Janet Ward, and of course, that was extraordinarily hard on our firm, a lot of mixed emotions with seeing her pass and losing her, but also knowing that she is in a place that she wants to be with her Lord and Savior. That's comforting. And then just trying to continue to steer a whole law firm across a finish line and into a transition has just been a whirlwind, is a really good description of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll echo what she said. I feel like it's been difficult, but in a lot of good ways. Janet Ward did a good job of kind of preparing us for this in a lot of ways, letting us in the leadership team for years. Audrey and I have been at the firm for 6-7 years apiece. So we really have been involved in business decisions and handling things with the firm. And so the thing motivating us now is keeping the team together, keeping our staff together, keeping our clients together, and really trying to continue on with Janet Ward's legacy of giving and care, you know.
And so, yeah, both of you were at the firm for, Gabe, you said 6 or 7 years?
Yeah, I have trouble keeping track. I think I came in at like 2019, so I'm going up on 7, and Audrey got here first. I had joked that she actually got me my first job, so my first big boy job.
That's handy. That's good job.
Very. Yeah, it's nice being married to a successful person, you know.
And how did you come to work at Ward Black Law, Audrey?
Well, it was absolutely a God story of how I got to the firm. Gabe, my wonderful husband, joined his father's firm here in Greensboro when he first started practicing. And I followed him and came to Greensboro, but didn't have a job. So I applied to several places, didn't get much back in the way of interviews or offers. So one day I got tired of sitting at home and waiting and decided I was going to put on a suit and print out some resumes and just introduce myself to the law firms in Greensboro. So I literally walked into Ward Black Law, and I remember being so impressed by the fact that Janet Ward led her firm with her faith. And so when I walked up to the front desk here in the office, I said, "Hi, my name's Audrey Snyder. I have a law degree and I share your faith. Are you hiring?"
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, I've had quite the story of how I got here. The answer was no, we're not hiring, but we may have some work for you on a contract basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a call a couple weeks later and they made me an offer for, I think the way it was phrased is, "We don't have an office space for you. We have no idea how long you can work for us. But if you're willing to show up and work with us, then we'll give you some contract work." And so I actually turned down at that time a full-time job because I was so drawn to Word Black Law. And I felt like it's where God wanted me to be. So with no benefit offers and, you know, just a contract basis, no guarantee of work other than 2 weeks. They said they'd give me 2 weeks of work. I started working with the firm in their family law department, actually, when we used to have a family law department. And I worked for about 3 months and Janet Ward decided that she needed to sign me up for full time and keep me around. So yeah, it was quite the adventure.
That is not your typical how I came to firm X, Y, or Z story. That's really amazing. I would never think that in this day and age with all the LinkedIn and all the automated robots and everything that you usually, you know, the typical route is you either know somebody or you like, you try to get it over, you know, put the right keywords in for your resume. So that is really amazing that you walked in the door and that was the door you decided to stay in. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. 9 years later, I'm still here. The first firm and only firm I've ever worked at. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. And so, Gabe, you followed her to Word Black Law a few years later?
I've been following her around since we met.
Smart man. Smart man.
That's right. That's right. We met back in 2010 and I've been following ever since. We went to law undergrad together, law school together, and a job opened up and my dad was starting to slow down for retirement and a job had opened up at Word Black and Audrey said, "Why don't you apply?" And Jan Ward hired me. So
awesome.
Been working here ever since. Started off in workers' comp, then progressed into PI and comp. And then anyway, yeah.
So how did you two meet? Do you have a good meet cute story?
Yeah, Gabe gets to take that one.
Yeah, I like telling it because Audrey's kind of factual about it, you know? And so for me, I was the one that was kind of infatuated, you know? Yeah. Yeah, so what, 2010? And we're both 17. So we were young going to college. And I was sitting with my buddy at the cafeteria. And we're sitting talking and obviously looking around for girls. It was like all we wanted to do when we got there.
Right.
So I look up and I see Audrey. First of all, I was stunned. I mean, I thought she was beautiful. And I said, "I'm gonna go talk to her." He's like, "No, you're not." I was like, no, go watch me. Watch me. So I walk up and she's in the burger line. I think they had wraps there. I found out later. And I had already eaten. Of course, I'm literally just there to talk to her. So I walk up and I said, "Hey, my name's Gabe. Looks like you play tennis," because she was wearing a tennis outfit. And she looked at me and she goes, "Uh-huh." Like that. And I go, "Okay, well, I play tennis too." And she's like, that's nice. That's cool. And I'm like, "Well, if you play tennis and I play tennis, then maybe we should play sometime." And she said, "Well, if you want to, you can look me up on Facebook." And so I said, "Okay."
And yeah, all right.
I faked getting a burger. And then I looked her up on Facebook. And sure enough, we went and played tennis. We fight about what our first date was. I think it was tennis. She thinks it was Cracker Barrel. Because that's all there is at Campbell at Bowie's Creek, you know. Plus, I'm 17. Okay. I don't have any money, you know.
Okay. But,
blueberry pancakes and eggs and bacon, I think, is what we had. So.
Aw, that's a great story.
You have to tell her. So what's really special and makes it that much more cute the way we met is I had told him, "You have to look me up on Facebook." So he friended me that day, invited me to be his friend, and then messaged me that way. Well, however many years later, I think it was 7 years later, we're standing on the altar getting married. And we're listening to a song that his brother had written for us. And he whispers in my ear and he says, guess what popped up on my Facebook this morning? And I was like, no, what? And he said, we've been friends now for 7 years. Today is the day that I invited you to be my friend. And so it must have been the day that we met.
September 2nd.
Yeah. And I had no idea. So, of course, I'm like teary eyed on the altar at our wedding.
She's like, why did you tell me that now?
You know, whispering, of course. But
that is terribly romantic. Very, very nice.
Who knew a cafeteria could and burgers, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And you actually had to buy another burger. So that was, you know,
that's true.
That's a real commitment as a 17-year-old, you know.
I was committed to that relationship early on, apparently. Yeah. I liked her so much on our first date. I joked about, I was so nervous. I said, you know, our kids are going to have our same sense of humor. So I was real smooth. You know, that was terrible. Yeah. Yeah.
Playing it cool.
Yeah. Not obsessed.
So you started dating as undergrads, and then how did you both decide to pursue the legal profession?
I think we both had law in mind when we went to Campbell. I think one of the things that attracted us the most about Campbell was that they had a faith-based law school, which we thought was really, really impressive. So I think, you know, going in, we both knew we wanted to go to law school, but we weren't positive that we wanted to go to Campbell. I was pretty confident in that, but Gabe, I don't think, made the final decision to go to Campbell until about a couple months before classes started. So,
okay.
But yeah, we were in classes together from freshman year at Campbell undergrad all the way through for 7 years through law school. So we're very used to working together, right? And so it was kind of a natural fit for us. I know working together is not for every couple.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly have to have our separate domains here at Ward Black Law. But it seemed very natural for us because we kind of grew up together in a sense. So,
Right. What was it that drew you to the law in general, Audrey?
For me, it was, I always had a really big passion for helping people through their problems, right? I've been drawn to the counseling aspect of the practice of law. I majored in psychology and I thought about counseling at one time, but when I went and shadowed some psychologists and kind of saw what that would look like day in and day out, I felt a real call that that's not something I would really want to do long term. I felt like I really needed a way to help people tangibly, to help change their circumstances. I'm not really the best listener all the time. I like to hands-on problem solve. So I think that was really the deciding factor for me, is I felt like I could really make a difference for people and make a difference in changing their circumstances through the law.
Cool. And how about you, Gabe? How long have you known that you wanted to be a lawyer?
So since I was like in second grade, and it probably has something to do with my dad being a lawyer. You know, you idolize your father. And my second idol was Matlock, you know, the best lawyer that ever lived. I used to watch with my mom.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Seersucker and hot dogs, baby, you know?
Absolutely.
But as I got older, you know, when you actually decide those things, it became more of a object or a goal for me, because I think I just love telling other people's stories. I love telling their story in a way that impacts others, and that sometimes people, they can't tell their story the way that needs to be told, and they need somebody to speak for them. And so that was very, very something that I wanted to do. I like advocating for people, no matter what it is, to help them.
Yeah, that's true. There's a great storytelling component to being a lawyer. So absolutely. So you guys are about 2 months into the stewardship of this institution, which is celebrating its 20th year, right, this month in February. And it has a very, obviously, you knew this from the moment you walked in the door, Audrey, a unique culture. How is it occurring to you as the new leaders of this firm? How are you going to preserve the Ward Black Law and further the Ward Black Law culture? Yeah, I'm sure you must be thinking about that all the time.
Absolutely. I think we're trying to take it one step at a time. You know, Janet Ward left a legacy and footprints that we'll never fill. And, you know, frankly, we don't really want to, right? We want to take what she built and continue it, absolutely, but also reshape it somewhat to make it our story that we know God has for us. I love that you use the word stewardship. That's how we feel. We feel like we are very blessed and fortunate to have the opportunity to lead a law firm, right? We've got 30 staff who we care for deeply that dedicate every single day of their life. You know, they spend more time here in this law firm than they do at home with their family. So part of what we're focused on is really making sure that they are well cared for and that we are empowering them with resources and things that they can use to give their highest and best every day, right? We're all skilled in different ways. So we're really about bringing our team together so that we can ultimately do what we've all been called to do here in this building, which is serve clients who've been injured. And so we're really kind of taking a step back, reflecting on all that Janet Ward has built and the legacy she has left, and kind of refocusing on our staff and on our clients. Client service is really, really important to us. So we are really trying to make sure that we are maintaining and stewarding as best we can with what we've been given.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll echo on that too. I think, you know, for us, it's, we didn't choose it this way. This is the way God had it happen and the way that it just happened, you know? And for us, what we've been hearing is an understanding and trying to listen to God in is that, you know, God hasn't called us to be Janet Ward. He's called us to be Gabe and Audrey. And that means that he's given us certain gifts. He gives us a different calling. And so for us, it's maintaining the ministry, maintaining the idea that we are a Christian law firm, but it may look different. And one thing that we have prayed about and felt passionate about is actually having either one or two members of staff who call clients, not for a case update, not for a treatment update, but just to call and ask them how we could pray for them. And we want to take those prayer requests into our office and not just say, oh, you need lunch or you're hungry and, you know, we'll pray for that. No, we want to be able to give them something. We want to be able to put them in with all these great nonprofits that Janet Ward built up and utilize that so that we're kind of a funnel for them. The idea would be, you know, I explained it to our ministry team the other day. When our clients come in, they've suffered a loss. And the only thing that we can offer as attorneys to fill that loss is money, right? That's the way the justice system works. But there's something else empty there, right? And so we're trying to fill that need spiritually for them to ensure that they're not filling it with something else. You know, it's a really sad day whenever you see your clients get hooked on pain medication, alcohol, trying to fill that void that's been put in their life, either from grief or sadness of loss. And so we want to promote and help them fill that with spiritual things instead of those other things that could cause them, you know, harm and they're down the line, particularly when the money runs out, you know?
Right. Right. And that's a tall order to endeavor to give people more than just the financial compensation that is. And I know that a lot of it weighs on, you know, Gabe and I were in this leadership seminar half day yesterday, where we talked about making sure that you have something left over for yourself, or I guess, you know, putting your own mask on first, because so many attorneys do deal with, like, you're meeting people at the most difficult, worst time of their lives. And so, like, you take all that on, and that's got to be a lot, and especially given that you want to do even more for them. So how do you guys keep it going? What do you do to rest and restore and, like, build yourselves back up for this?
You want to go first this time, Gabe?
Yeah, sure. We'll mix it up. So my wife is really good at tennis. I don't know if this is restoration for me or just like a beatdown that I like to partake in. I don't know. But we play tennis together, and I very much enjoy that because it's just a place to go and think about hitting a ball, you know, just forget about what you got and do that. Another thing that we really like doing is going to the Natural Science Center in Greensboro with our girls, and their joy just like, I don't know, it just fills our cups, you know, hearing them. I'll speak for me, but hearing them when I come to the door, scream, daddy, you know, and come down. And that's just, so getting to watch them around the animals and everything, it's really, really fills us up. So things like that, you know.
Fun, fun. How about you, Audrey? Beating your husband at tennis is therapeutic?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The restoration.
Yes. Yes. That is a weekly need that I have. No. And, you know, what we did start doing is we started playing mixed doubles. So we're playing together, and that's been really fun. You know, most of what we do together is very serious and intense as far as the business goes. Right. And so we found that we really have to be intentional about separating that time, you know, cause we're business partners and business owners now, but we're also married and parents. So I think what Gabe said is true. I mean, we just like spending time with our girls, and Gabe is really good about being intentional to make sure that he and I are spending time together. If it's on the tennis court or, you know, just going to dinner one night, we just have to prioritize it. And we have to have some of those boundaries set up. But to be honest, we love what we do. And we talk about that often. We're very thankful that we have the privilege of doing something every day that makes us happy and excited. So I know that a lot of people talk about the boundaries thing and separating it, but Gabe and I just like sitting around talking about cases and strategizing. So, you know, we're big dorks that way.
Well, we're fortunate to have both of you then, and that passion that you bring to it all the time. I know you've both been in leadership positions and with various groups in NCAJ. What is it about NCAJ that works for y'all? What do you get out of it? Because you give a lot to it.
Well, that's something that fills our cup for sure. Being around like-minded people, I really, really treasure the relationships that I have in NCAJ, particularly with the smaller groups and sections, you know, the Women's Caucus, being a part of the Products Liability section. And you form close bonds because you do similar work and you help each other out and you get the opportunity to learn and work with each other. But you also just do life together. And, you know, our favorite part about NCAJ is that it gives us the opportunity to come together with our people and just be able to spend that quality time. And it also gives us an opportunity to learn from each other and collaborate on cases. You know, we're plaintiff's attorneys. We don't work in big, giant law firms where they have all these people to talk to and meet with and strategize about cases. We have to pick up the phone and call our NCAJ members and be more intentional about that collaboration.
It's two things for me. When I started off with my dad, he only did criminal law. So I had a passion for personal injury law because of the car wreck that I was in when I was in my first semester of law school. So I was passionate about it, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And I will never forget the people who now I realize are a very, very big deal, who would just pick up my phone call and talk to me for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And they really helped me through a lot. And so I just feel like I have a debt that I'm never going to be able to repay for all that time and the way that they taught me and were so kind to me. The second thing is, not to be too dramatic about it, but at times I really feel like we're in a battle. We're in a war with the people who don't want to let us tell our client's story, you know, and we've got to be able to get together. And if we're all separate, we're not as strong as we are together. And so being together, coming up with plans, coming up with ways to combat that so we can tell our client's story, I think is critical. And the NCAJ provides the avenue to do that.
It's a different kind of organization. The trial lawyers bar is different than the other ones. It's awesome that you guys have found such a such a great place here. We're really glad. And we are very grateful for your recent donation to NCAJ, which we're going to use to fund some scholarships for the next program, which you are a graduate of, Gabe, and which is a great opportunity to make the kind of connections that you're talking about. It was terrific to be in that seminar yesterday. I really got a sense of how you guys connected and worked together, and really just the sense of camaraderie was really palpable in there, I felt like.
I totally agree. And I think the NCAJ is brilliant for putting that together because, you know, when you're young, you feel like you have to pretend to know everything because your boss is watching, right. Your clients are watching, you have to pretend to know it. It's nice to get around other people and be like, do you know what you're doing? No, you know, and then you both just kind of, you build that base, you know, and
yeah,
it's very, very good. I've learned so much, Jess and Shannon, and that more than just law, more than just coming together, but leadership qualities, how to manage people. They don't talk about that in law school. They don't teach you that, but I do it most of my day, to be frank. Most of my day is spent doing that, managing, communicating. And so really thankful to the NCAJ, and I'm really glad the donation can go to scholarships to make sure that everybody who has the opportunity to go and that there's not going to be any financial constraint, because young lawyers really just need to go and do that. It's life-changing.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. And we're excited about Janet Ward's the gift also. She left NCAJ $50,000, and we're going to use that to go to helping fund a mentorship program. The thing about Janet Ward that I really learned from all of the memorials and all of the folks who talked about her, that she always seemed to have time. She was very generous with her money, obviously, and dedicated to tithing and giving back of her treasure. But, you know, just all these stories of people who just said, I remember when, like, she would just, you know, she didn't know me that well, but she picked up the phone or she called me, you know, or when I called her, she always had time for me, which is a real testament to true sense of generosity. Because for someone as busy as she was, obviously, to be willing to give your time like that. So NCAJ thought that the mentorship program would be, scholarships for that would be a great use of her gift.
Yeah, it's perfect, Amber. Like, it's exactly in line with who she was, right? It's like what you said, she gave her time. And I remember one of the very first things she told me after she hired me was, you have to join NCAJ. And that if there's any other organization that's more important, it's NCAJ. And a lot of that had to do with the opportunity for mentorship. And that's something, you're right. And Gabe said this before, I'm stealing his thunder, but he said that, you know, when people think about Janet Ward, the first thing they think of is not she was a really good lawyer. The first thing they think of is her faith and the way that she sacrificed for other people. And then they think she is a really good lawyer, you know? And so for her to have that legacy set up and having guidance for the mentors of the next program just seems so fitting and so perfect. Because like Gabe said, you know, in law school, you don't learn how to manage people. Well, there's really not a whole lot of opportunity to learn how to be a good mentor. It's not something that you pause and think about. But again, the brilliance of NCAJ and you all, your staff, is you need to take some time and make sure that the mentors have some guidance and what the expectations are and what a good investment opportunity and a way to honor Janet Ward. I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. We are too. And so as we are recording this today, we are about a week into the firm's celebration. It's a 20-day celebration that started on Janet Ward's birthday, right? Which was also the 20th anniversary of the firm, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
I know that you guys have been posting on social about memories of Janet Ward. What else will you be doing as part of this 20-day celebration to memorialize her?
Yeah, so besides doing that, we're sharing a lot of internal memories. I mean, we thought about doing a blowout, you know, having an event. That would be something that Janet Ward would have liked, but the staff and all of us have been through a lot. And so we felt like it was important to spend it as family. And so Audrey and I are going to take everyone out to a nice dinner somewhere that they may not normally go and host them and a significant other and just spend time together, not work, not talk. I mean, people can talk about work if they want, but just come together and think about, you know, the loss because, you know, it's been, Audrey and I talked about this. I don't know that she and I have grieved yet in a way. I mean, we knew about the diagnosis really early on, but because everything has been here, you've got to run this firm now. And there's cases that we need to work on now. And none of it's really stopped. And in fact, our work has gotten more and more. We wanted to recognize that with the staff and let them know, look, we feel it. We want you to understand that we feel it. And so we want to take this time and just have a nice dinner for you to just relax. And let's just kind of slow down for a night, you know? And so that's one of the things that we're going to do to celebrate, if you will.
And something that's really special and just neat about the 20 days is it started on Janet Ward's birthday. And it will, the last day is March 6th. It's a Friday, so that's when we're going to do the dinner. But there's something really special and significant about the 6th that we did not plan. But that is the day for For All, which is the talk to your a lawyer for free day that Janet Ward established and set up when she was president of NCBA. It was something that she held near and dear to her heart. So it is absolutely fitting that that is the day that we really celebrate and commemorate her. And then we will have a big party with other people involved later on this year to celebrate our 20-year anniversary. But first, we're going to spend that time reflecting and really just being together. Like Gabe said, we just haven't felt like we've had a moment. When you asked me how am I feeling at the very beginning, I was like, I don't know. But yeah, we're really looking forward to that dinner and honoring her and to honoring her in this way through NCAJ. It's really special.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I hope that you guys have a fabulous dinner and I hope that you, get to slow down and take some deep breaths because this is a lot. Well, thank you so much for your generous gift to NCAJ and for all of your service to the organization. And thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Before we go, I'd like to thank today's episode sponsor, which is Advocate Capital. Advocate is passionate about helping plaintiffs' attorneys get better results for clients, mainly through their AdvoTrack case expense funding service. It allows firms to track case expenses and recovering borrowing costs, which makes the net cost of borrowing zero on cases they win. Learn more at advocatecapital.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.